Deuteronomy chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read through verse 20. Deuteronomy 3, 12 through 20. And this land which we possessed at that time, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob, unto the coasts of Geshuri and Maacathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan, Havoth, Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Maker. And unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon half the valley and the border, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and the plain also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth, even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over, armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war. But your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan. And then shall you return every man unto his possession which I have given you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy word, that the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto those who have singleness of heart. And so we pray that you would help us now to come to your word with a singleness of mind and heart, that you might grant to us then a spiritual understanding that we so desire and need. We trust thee for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic tonight is guidance through our gifts. You'll notice the portion of scripture that we read talks about the land that Israel had recently conquered and how Moses here divides that land amongst 2.5 of the 12 tribes of Israel. A map giving us a picture of this. You'll see then, according to the map, that Israel had gone around Moab, and they had conquered this section of territory here. And after having conquered this, actually their goal was the other side of Jordan. This was the ultimate goal they had in mind, but because of their rebellion, not wanting to go up this way when God told them to conquer the land, God had taken them around through a roundabout pathway up to the other side of Jordan, and now they had conquered this area, and they came to recognize that God had given them this land. They had to possess it. They had to dwell in it, or else it would be lost again. A good example for us in our Christian lives, sometimes we think about things that we ought to be taking out of our lives, and we forget the fact that you can't just take something out without replacing it with something else. And so God's goal is not just to rid our lives of the things that displease him. His goal is to fill our lives with the things that do please him. And so they had conquered this land from the inhabitants, and now it was their responsibility to inhabit this land and to fill it and to take possession of it. And we read in our portion here tonight that Moses decided to give this land to the tribe of Reuben and of Gad and to half of the tribe of Manasseh. In other words, the other half of the tribe of Manasseh would then have possession, a possession on the opposite side of the river Jordan. And the first thing that comes to our mind as we read this, why did Moses decide to give that land to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half of the tribe of Manasseh? What was the reasoning behind that? Why did he do this? And as we look into this portion of Scripture, we find that there were very definite reasons. These reasons were very clear to Moses at this time because he had seen what God had already done in the lives of these people. Now, God had given these tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, very special gifts. We're not referring here to the seven basic motivational gifts that we find in Romans chapter 12. We're referring here rather to the gifts of the talents, natural talents and abilities and possessions that God had given to these people. We might call them their ministry gifts. And God had given them very specific talents and possessions that clarified then the area of ministry that they should have. And as Moses then saw this territory that God had given to them, wondering what God had in mind, it was very clear then that Moses recognized in these people certain talents and possessions that made it clear as to what was the inheritance that they were to have. As we look into this portion, we find Moses' reasoning. For example, notice in verses 14 and 15. In verse 14, we read, Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coasts of Geshuri and Maacathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. And then Moses says, and I gave Gilead unto Machir. Now, for this to make any sense to us, we have to find out a few things. We have to find out who was Jair. We have to find out who was Machir, and why Moses came to this conclusion. And so to do this, we have to look into Scripture and find out who these people were, where they came from, and what was Moses' reasoning. If you would chase these down in your Bible, you would come up with a partial genealogy such as this. This partial genealogy, as we check, for example, the portions of Scripture I have on the bottom here, Numbers 27 and 1 Chronicles 2, 3 through 21. We'll not look up those Scriptures because it would be quite lengthy to follow them through, and I'll just give you the summary of it here. Notice that Judah, through Tamar, who was his daughter-in-law, gave birth to Phares. From him came Hezron, and from Hezron we have Caleb. Now, there's a familiar name. You remember Caleb, one of the two spies. He was one of the two that had faith in God, and Caleb was a man of outstanding faith in God. And we follow the genealogy through then of Manasseh. We find that Manasseh had two sons, Asher and Machir. This is where we get the two tribes then of Manasseh, or the two half-tribes rather. And when Moses says here in verse 15, and I gave Gilead unto Machir, he means he gave Gilead then to this half of the tribe of Manasseh. And the other half of the tribe of Manasseh had its inheritance in the promised land. And so from Machir we had Gilead, Hefer, Zelophehad. Now, Zelophehad had no sons, only daughters. And so a problem arose here, because Hezron, when he was 60 years old, wanted to marry one of the daughters of Zelophehad. But the problem would be that if he married this daughter, then the inheritance of her father would go into the tribe of Judah. And so they came to Moses and said, Moses, what should we do about this? Because this will mean that Manasseh will lose part of its inheritance. And so Moses then ruled. Moses went to the Lord and asked the Lord about this, and the Lord gave him a principle here that in this case, where a man only has daughters, when these daughters marry, instead of them becoming a part of the husband's tribe and the children forming a part of the husband's tribe, then the husband becomes a part of his wife's tribe and the children follow the lineage then of the wife. And for that reason, Segub and Jair were of the tribe of Manasseh, even though they were both sons of Hezron,
who was of the tribe of Judah. Now, that means then that this man Jair, that we read of in verse 14, who took all the country of Argob, he took that whole land up to the north, away from the giant, was also a son of Hezron. That means that Hezron was used of God to produce two outstanding men in Israel, Caleb and Jair, both outstanding warriors, men of faith, men of real ability to trust God and of real confidence in God. And so this is an unusual circumstance here. And we come to the conclusion that Hezron, when he was 60, had built his own house. He had other sons besides Caleb. Then God used him to raise up his brother's house and produce also men of outstanding faith and courage. Now, he did this really at his own expense, because if he had not agreed to this type of an arrangement, his sons would have also continued to build his own house. We have here a tremendous principle of his willingness to give of himself to build the house of his brother. And so Hezron here built, was instrumental really in building two godly families in Israel. God then allowed a need to develop in another tribe, and he used Hezron to meet that need. I think that this has a lesson for us as God enables us to build our own families. Then God gives us opportunity to help others build their families. Now, it doesn't mean that Hezron had a perfect family. It doesn't mean that Hezron had no problems. But God did use him to bring into the world a man of outstanding faith and courage, and then repeat that in another tribe. And that means that everything that Hezron learned here in building his first family, God used him in building the second family. And so God brings us through experiences that we might then share these victories and blessings with others. Not that he had no problems, but that God had taught him how to face these problems. And as he did so, he was able to then use that experience to build also the house of his brother. God blessed him then in giving him a son and a grandson of outstanding faith and courage. Actually, he could never claim Jair for his own household, but that to him did not matter. His was a ministry, no matter where it might be. He had the joy then of unselfish ministry. Now, God has a way of repaying this kind of generosity. And you notice, you remember on the map, we saw that Jair then has it to profit withal. The ministry of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, actually, those words could be translated, the ministry of the Spirit is given to every man unto help or advantage or bringing together. And so if we summarize this, we could say that the ministry of the Spirit is given to every man to bring together for mutual helpfulness, which is basically nobody wins till everybody wins. Philippians 2:4, Paul says, let every man look not only on his own things, but also on the things of others. Here we have the same thing. Nobody wins till everybody wins. That means that my success as a Christian is very closely linked in with the success of my brethren in Christ. That's one reason I really enjoy this little red book, you know, this church directory. If you don't have one, there are probably still more. You make sure that you get a church directory. And it can be one of the most valuable books you have. As you take that church directory, and day by day, you go through it and pray by name for your brethren here in the church. Day by day, by name, praying for one another. Now, that's important. You might want to take a few names a day or a page a day or however you want to do it. It doesn't matter. But it's important because God's principle is nobody wins till everybody wins. And your success as a Christian is tied in closely to the success of your fellow Christians. And every victory they have is a victory for you. And every victory you have is a victory for them because we're in this together. It's the same way with churches. We're in this together. A victory for one church is a victory for the cause of Christ. A disaster in one church is a disaster for the whole church of Christ. And so the principle here then is that a victory for one member is a victory for all. And we are in this together. Nobody wins until everybody wins. And so if we were to make a summary here of the principles that we find in this portion regarding these gifts, we could say, first of all, that our gifts, speaking here not of Romans 12, our seven motivational gifts, but our ministry gifts, our gifts are by God's grace, but often related to godly ancestry. We have the case here of Hezron. Now, God, out of his divine omnipotence and of his mercy and grace, his sovereignty, he's the one that gave to Caleb and to Jer this courage and faith to be able to trust him in that way. Yet we find that God tells us very clearly that there's a relationship, and the godly ancestry that these men had was also vital in producing men of that caliber. And so this indeed places upon us a vision, a burden, a goal that we, by God's grace, want to be used of him to produce children and grandchildren that will trust God and obey him and serve him. God, out of his sovereignty, gives this kind of faith. Nevertheless, God tells us it is connected in with godly families. And so this needs to be one of the key, one of the primary goals of our church is godly families. We don't want to let anything else take precedent over that. And every time that we would be tempted to place some other goal ahead of that, we need to remember that God brought great victories in Israel through Caleb and Jer, and that as we seek before God to produce godly families, this then will produce tremendous victories in God's work. What an inheritance this man Hezron had through the children that God gave to him. And so we need to strive for this and make this our goal. Secondly, our gifts. Our gifts are for serving the body of Christ. We find that God's principle is that nobody wins till everybody wins. And that your victory is a victory for the church. Every time during the week, if we never hear about it, every time you have a tremendous victory in your spiritual life, it's a victory for the whole church and for the whole body of Christ. Our gifts, then, are not for our own glory or for our own advantage, but for the body of Christ. And Israel found that Manasseh protected Israel, and Israel found that Reuben and Gad fed Israel, because God did not give them their gifts just for their own advantage, but that they might serve the entire nation. And so they did that through protection and provision. Thirdly, the program of the church should be patterned after the gifts God has given to his people, and not vice versa. Christ then reveals his program for each church by the gifts that he gives to his people. There's quite a push out today of trying to get all the churches alike, trying to get every church in the same mold. And there are books published of these are the successful ways of doing things. And if you do things this way, you'll have success. But God never intended, just like everybody has different fingerprints, everybody with different personalities. I don't believe God intended every church to be exactly the same either. And God, I believe, reveals His program for each church by the specific gifts that He gives to His people. And so churches should not copy each other or set out a program arbitrarily, but rather seek God's leading through the gifts that He gives to God's people. That means that we are looking to God to reveal through His people what He wants us to do, rather than setting a program and trying to get God's people to fit into that program. And then fourthly, our gifts are revealed as we obey God in the thing that He has set before us. As we obey God in the thing that He has set before us right now, then God will use that to reveal to us the gift that He has for us. Doing what is at hand, then, with all of our might to the glory of God, brings out God's area of gift to us, and then makes clear His inheritance for us. As Jer went up to conquer the land of Og, I'm sure he had no idea that that was going to be his. But God used that experience to show where He wanted him to be. And so in our lives, it's such a temptation today to strive for position and office, prominence, and things like that. God says, I want you to seek Me for the ministry that I have for you. You know, everybody in the church can have a ministry. We can minister to each other. Now, everybody in the church can't have an office and a position, but everybody in the church can have a ministry. Now, to get an office and a position, you have to work at getting elected and that type of thing, or else not have enough courage to say no. Or, but to have a ministry, you go to God. You don't go to the people. You don't go to the church. You go to God. And as you go to God, and God gives you a ministry, that is really the most important thing that you could possibly have. In fact, if God gives you an office, you have to seek to turn that office into a ministry. Because if it's only an office, you won't really fulfill that which God has for you. And so, seek to minister. Go to God and seek from God the ministry that He would have you to have, ministering to God's people. And as we find the ministry that God has for us, we will find our inheritance. That's what happened to Jer. As he fulfilled the ministry that God set before him, he found the inheritance that God had for him. And so God also guides this way in not only in His church, but in His people. And so God wants us as individuals to seek a ministry. And it's exciting, the ministry that a person can have in a church without ever having an office or a position of any kind. It's thrilling to see God's people minister to one another, and this is what He wants us to do. And ministering, basically, is as we see and meet the needs around us, then God leads us into our own inheritance. So we pray. Father, we recognize tonight that the principles of Your Word are so contrary to the ways in which, humanly speaking, we would go. We recognize that most of these things are not the way that we would normally do them. And they're contrary to the established program of the world and of business. But we thank You that You show us, through the history of Your people, the ways in which You work. We pray that You'd help us to learn these lessons, that we might have the thrill of each one finding the kind of ministry that You have for us, exercising the abilities and using the provisions that You have given to us, and then, unexpectedly, all of a sudden, finding out the inheritance that You had planned for us. That would not have been obvious had we not been ministering and exercising the gifts that You had given to us. So help us, we pray, not to look to men, not to look to organization, but to look to Thee, that each of us might have the joy of fulfilling day by day the ministry that You have for us, and then seeing how You tie all these things together and how You use each of us as a means of success in the lives of others, and then seeing how You cause each of us to bring victory into the lives of others, provision into the lives of others, and we see fulfilled the principle that You've given to us, that we only win when the others win, and that our victories are theirs and that theirs are ours. We thank You for this oneness that we see in Your Word, and how Israel was one nation and with so many different gifts, so also Your church. We pray that You make us attentive to Your guidance through the gifts that You have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.